You know, when Jason was saying that the time is short, I can just tell you, being a five-daughter dad and having more girls outside the house than inside the house, it's amazing how short the time is. When I first had Hannah, I didn't have her, my wife had Hannah, someone gave me a gift, and it was a jar of marbles. It was like 18 inches tall, about 6 inches wide, and it was full of marbles. I'm like, what's this about? He said, in there is 936 marbles. So that's about how many weeks you get with that girl until she goes to college. I keep it on my desk, and it just reminds me really how short the time is. The reality is, with my oldest three girls, I've lost all my marbles. Like, it's over, right? I'm their coach, but I no longer have that place in their life to imprint them indelibly. And I hand them off to God as they walk that road. With Bella, I've lost 2/3 of my marbles. With JoJo, our youngest, I've lost about half my marbles. It goes so quickly. All the reason more to capture the moment and capture today. And way to go, dads. That's what you've done. You've been up here and you've just captured the experience of being with your daughter. And I hope God's capturing you as well. And I'm hoping that this brings value to you from the Word of God. If we look at these Beatitudes as Jesus climbed this hill, and he gave really a life of what it would look like in his kingdom. It's a counterintuitive life. It doesn't come naturally to live this life, but he's wooing us into this incredible life where he reigns. And it's called the kingdom of God. And he opens up 7 times with this word blessed. And it's not blessed based on something outside of you. It's blessed in him. He wants to give us something more fulfilling, certainly more eternal and longer lasting than anything this world can offer outside of us. And girls, I really, if I could pray anything over you, it'd be that you believe that statement, that Jesus wants that for you. And dads, Jesus wants that for us. So we open saying, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. If you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you can live in that blessedness. Blessed are, this morning, the pure in heart, because the number one thing that would knock you out of the race or get you into lukewarm faith will be impurity. And then tonight, we're going to talk about blessed are the peacemakers. Here's our verse tonight, Matthew 5:9. Let's say it together. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. I think this is so relevant for our day and age. First of all, I want you to realize it says, blessed are the peacemakers. That word's only used twice in Scripture. It's used here, and it's used in Colossians chapter 1, verse 20. And I want you to see what that means. That word peacemakers doesn't mean an absence of conflict, because conflict is actually, if you have it in a healthy way, a pathway to intimacy. Jesus promised in John 14:27, in this world, you're going to have conflict. So it doesn't mean that. He didn't say, blessed are the peacekeepers. He didn't say, blessed are those who avoid conflict at and what whatsoever. He didn't say, blessed are the peace takers. Any of you know peace takers? Right? No? No? You guys don't know peace takers? My daughter knows a peace taker. People that just walk into a room and conflict is all around them. Blessed are the peace makers. And let me just break that down. Peace means what that word, again, when Jesus said it, is people who seek the highest good. People who seek the highest good for another, horizontally and vertically. Like if I want, and tonight, I seek the highest good for you, and I'm going to display God in a way in the gospel, because I want, the best thing I can give you is the good news that Jesus came to set us free, right? And there's times with Bella, as a peacemaker, I have to speak the truth in love to her. We're going to talk about that, because I seek her highest good. There's times she speaks the truth in love to me, because she seeks my highest good. Peacemakers, I want you to hear this, are not passive. You cannot be that and remain idle. Peacemakers trust God and take a step of faith and walk into messes and let God be God through them. Now, why is this so important? Look at this. I think this is so important in our age. Look at the bonus we get, the blessing we get. Blessed are the peacemakers. Why? They'll be called children of God. In our day and age, We live in a unique time. It's been unique since I entered ministry 25 years ago, 35 years ago. This is a day and age where we are far in what's called a post-Christian era. At least where I live, and I'm sure you're no different. I was telling someone today in the Silicon Valley where I pastor, people look at Christians, it's hostile towards Christianity. It's hard soil. When I tell someone I'm a Christian, when I tell someone I'm a pastor, they think I'm some evolutionary leftover from a Victorian age with crazy morals, and I'm against this, and I'm against that, and I certainly don't have a brain. All the reason more to live out a vivid Christian life so that they look at me and go, wow, peacemaker, if that's what you're like, I wonder what your heavenly Father, maybe he's a lot like that too. Do you understand what I'm talking about here? That's what Jesus meant originally, but we need that more than ever today to live out an apologetic for a watching, hurting world that's hostile towards us. We're going to talk about this tomorrow. We're going to take our lumps walking with Christ. But as we do, people will look at us and we'll see a vivid video of this tomorrow and they'll go, oh my gosh, I wonder if your God's like that. I've had a great life. And part of my gifting is evangelistic. I get to lead people. I don't lead anyone. I get to be there when people receive Christ. I've never had anyone, I've seen hundreds of people trust Christ with me. I've never had anyone pray to receive Christ and go, you know what led me to Christ in you? It was your condemnation. You were so harsh with me. And I thought, man, I want to know that kind of God. Never. Never. It was always a supernatural character that they saw that God used, and combined with his word, it's huge. We need peacemakers more than ever in our homes, would you agree? In our society, does anyone else agree we're kind of lacking peace these days, right? Boy, we need to live this. Dang, we even need peacemaking in our church parking lots. Watch this.
Jesus, I am late for church. I'm just going to speak this parking spot into existence right now. Just name it and claim it, Jesus.
Oh, for heaven's sakes, use the crosswalk.
I have the fruit of the Spirit, but y'all need to move. Ooh, she is going to wear that into bounce your eyes. Bounce your eyes. Jesus, give me a miracle. I need a ram in the thicket. I love this church. It's just like come as you are. You know what I'm saying? How do I look, though? Does the jacket go with the shirt? Oh, good Lord. Guests, single parents. Expected mother, who doesn't have a parking spot these days? I have been here 27 years. I deserve respect. Oh yeah, go ahead, take my parking spot. She probably needs Jesus more than me, honestly. Use your mirror. How long does it take to back out of a... Jesus, give me strength. This is so honestly, there better be coffee. There better be coffee. Y'all are gonna make me park in a handicap spot.
Oh, look, there go the homeschoolers.
I swear if somebody took the last jelly donut, I will. Don't make me get out of the... Oh, move
hey, are you on the ministry team?
Not today, okay? Oh, you're gonna drive a Lexus? Okay, I know where your treasure's at. Not in heaven. The sermon series is what? Putting others in front of yourself. Oh, this doesn't apply to me. I mean, for heaven's sakes, move out of the road.
Look at this truck. Where are you going? A church or a Trump rally?
Finally found a parking spot 15 minutes late. Oh, it is way too cold out here, but you better bring a shuttle or I will watch this service online.
So we all agree we need peacemaking, okay? Look at our verse for this part of what it's called, our theme verse for tonight. It's in Romans chapter 12. Look at this. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. And by the way, when Jesus talked about this, blessed are the peacemakers, you need to know in his day, the religious thought of his day was eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That's what the rabbis taught. If you read later on in Matthew, I think it's 5:28-32, Jesus even says, you've heard it said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth. But in my kingdom, it's a radically different ethic. And so Paul picks up on that. He wrote this verse. He says, don't repay anyone evil for evil. That was the religious thought of the day. With the degree you transgress me, I have the right to transgress your boundary. And the rabbi said that was okay. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. See, no one's exempt. Anyone, everyone, if it's possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with how many people, everybody? Open book test.
Everyone.
Everyone. Don't be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, this stuff in the scriptures, it sets us free, but it sets the bar so high. We need God, and here's the good news. God's grace is available for that. Here's the home edition that I wrote. Don't repay anyone inside or outside your home evil for evil. Be careful to do what's right in the eyes of everyone. If it's possible, as far as it depends on your home, live at peace with everyone. Imagine if your home is known as the lighthouse on your block. You're the peacemakers on your block. That's pretty cool. Don't be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. How are we going to do this? I would just tell you this. You know what? If you're going to make peace first, you're, guys, especially, I want to tell you this, and then daughters, you too, you're going to have to put your rights last. If you're going to be serious about this, and I'm telling you, we need to be, if you're going to put peace first, your rights have to go last. Because let's not forget, we serve a man, God-man, who completely relinquished all his rights to come to earth. And that's the Savior we stood and worshiped just now. And to become like him, we have to relinquish our rights. 100% of the time in my life, when peace is lost or when I abandon that role as peacemaker, you know why? Because I've let go of that and I've picked up my rights. I deserve this. I deserve this. I deserve this. Won't fly. Quickly, okay, because I know we're late. How do we do this? Just open up to page 12 and let's look at this really fast, okay? I'm going to go through this relatively quickly, but I really want you to get this. How are you going to do that? I want to be very practical. Here's the first point. Peacemakers submit to one another. Peacemakers submit to one another. Dropping your rights, just like our Savior. Imagine, what we just sung was so beautiful. What a beautiful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. Jesus was the adoration of the universe. All of creation was singing his glory. And he completely left that and submitted himself, unzipped eternity, stepped into time, and submitted himself to his creation to the point of being crucified. That's crazy. And then he says to us, I'm not going to ask you to go that far, but I am going to ask you, with each other in the home, submit to one another. Drop your rights and submit to one another. The word submit there in Ephesians 5, Paul puts that at the front end of the largest discourse in all of Scripture on how a home should run. And he says, let me just give you a blanket statement here. Just one verse. I'm gonna talk about husbands and wives. I'm gonna talk about dads and daughters and dads and sons. I'm gonna talk about employers. But let me just give you one statement. In other words, Paul's saying, if you hear nothing else, hear this. Submit to one another. Oh, well, wait a second, God, I got an 8-year-old daughter. You tell me I have to submit to her? Oh, yeah. Wait a second, how does that work? No, don't do it for her. Look at this. Out of reverence for who? Christ. See, I don't submit to Bella for Bella. She's an incredible kid. I submit to Bella out of reverence for Christ. It's an act of worship. In Paul's day, that word submit was a military term when someone of a higher rank would underrank themselves with someone of a lower rank. They would drop rank. They would submit to one another. I'll be honest with you, weak people can't submit. Their ego's too tied up into it. When you're secure in your identity as a follower of Jesus, deeply loved by Jesus, you can submit to anything because Jesus did, and it's out of reverence for him. Okay, so that's the first thing. It's so important, and for the sake of time, I'm just going to kind of go through these quickly, but you skip this, you lose everything. Nothing else will work. You will never, ever, ever be a peacemaker if you don't have an attitude of submitting one to another. If you cling to your rights, none of this stuff works, okay? So I wish I could stop time. I wish I could infuse us all with caffeine right now so we could be awake, so we could really get this. I'm going to trust the Spirit of God to do that. Then what do we do after we submit to one another? Look at this next one. Peacemakers speak the truth in love. I want you both, dads and daughters, to listen up because I think this is really important. Speak the truth in love. In other words, you know what we get to do in our home and then outside our home? This is the best thing I love about being a follower of Christ. I have lenses from the Holy Spirit where I can label people the way God sees them. It's incredible. That's what we have uniquely as followers of Christ. We don't see people the way the world sees people. Paul said that in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. He says, I see no one from a worldly point of view anymore. It's like God, when you come to Christ, has given you a lens and you get to speak spiritual, eternal truth over people. Look what Paul said in this passage, Ephesians 4. Instead, speaking the truth of love, in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. How many of you, don't raise your hand, want to be mature in Christ? In every respect. Don't you want that? I want that so bad. You know what this verse says, everybody? I'm not in community with a lot of you. There's one, a very close friend I've reunited with up here. But when I go back home tomorrow to Redwood City, it means I need those men in my life to speak into my life. To become everything that God wants me to be. Speaking the truth in love, we will become. It doesn't say I. I can't be a mature follower of Christ without the body of Christ, without grown men speaking into my life, without my wife speaking into my life. You ready for this, dads? Without my daughter speaking into my life and labeling me. This is so important. So important. In our home, we have this little litany where I tell my girls periodically, hey, I want to tell you something. Like in Bella's case, she's 16. Hey, Belle. And I told her this from a young age. God lined up all the 16-year-old girls in the world. And he told Daddy, you can choose any daughter to be your 16-year-old daughter. Who would I choose? Bell says, yeah, you choose me. You're right, I choose you. From a young age, and I'm not the super dad. Bell could take the mic at this point and talk about scars and that have you and what have you. I'm not trying to make myself more. What I am trying to do is label her and all her sisters. That, you know what, I choose you. I did this with her daughter, her sister, JoJo, who's 9. I'm like, Joe, God lined up all the girls in the world. Now at 9, you know what she said this last week? She's like, Dad, you did choose me out of all the girls in the world because I love you. So I turned, I'm 53, but on my 40th birthday, my oldest daughter gives me Father's Day, happy Father's Day card. And here's how she's labeling me. She says, happy Father's Day, Dad. If God lined up all the bald, young-looking, 40-year-old dads in the world, guess who I'd choose? Daddy. 2 birthdays ago, Belle gave me an iDad. You ever heard of an iDad? They don't exist. I have the one and only iDad in the world. She went in construction paper and made it like a little iPad when the apps have a picture of me and her. I just flip the flap, and there's a picture of me and Bella doing something. And there's 9 pictures in my iDad. It's in my office. I love it. My last birthday, you know what she gave me? Coupons for a daddy-daughter date. 5 of them. I love that. She's labeling me and saying, I want to be with you. We speak the truth in love. Dads, don't believe the labels at work. Don't believe the labels of the culture. Start with God. And then get grown people in your life labeling you, and then you label your daughters. Daughters, your dad needs a label from you. Doesn't need a lot of them, as far as it'd be big and exquisite. Just tell him you love him every now and then, and tell him why. And then look at this next one. Peacemakers apologize when they're wrong. They apologize when they're wrong. Because you're going to have conflict. And if you're going to mutually submit, you're going to speak the truth in love, inevitably you're going to fall short. And when you realize you're wrong, apologize. In the book of James, chapter 5, verse 16, it says, therefore confess your sins to each other. Pray for each other so that you may be healed. When you come under the conviction that you've fallen short, be quick to apologize. Men, be quick to apologize. when you realize you've fallen short. There's nothing more humbling to me than to have to apologize to a 16-year-old daughter, an 8-year-old daughter, a 25-year-old daughter. And I blow it all the time with them. And they raise it up with me. And this was not the way I was parented. I didn't have a voice when I was parented, when I was a kid. But you know what? I'm not trying to live into the legacy that was handed to me. It was not a godly legacy. I'm trying to create a new one. Be quick to apologize. Bella and I were at a different daddy-daughter camp this summer, an incredible week. But I quickly realized I had hurt her by the way I was parenting her. At 16, I was still trying to be a cop to her. Her cop. And she didn't need a cop. At 16, she's grown beyond needing a policeman to be her dad. She needs a coach. She's an incredible young woman. And I, out of fear and other things, I was trying to keep control, and it was hurting our relationship. And so at this daddy-daughter conference, I had to apologize. It was really humbling for me. But more than my own ego, I want to raise a godly, resilient, incredible woman. So I went to her and turned in my badge to her. And I said, I'm done being your cop. Remember that? And I gave her a whistle. And I said, I want to take on the role as coach. I'm so sorry for the hurt I've caused you. So important, men, that we apologize. And daughters, when you realize you've done something wrong, just be quick to apologize and say, I'm sorry. This is so important and so foreign, I've actually put an apology language on page 13. This is good for your friendships, girls, and men. This is good for your relationship with your spouse. This is really good. And I don't have the time to go through it, but you can read it. Apology is important. And to keep the peace, to make peace, you're going to have to apologize. Lastly, peacemakers, this is so important, forgive and let go. They forgive and let go. There's no other way to peace. There's no other way to peace than through forgiveness and then letting go. Forgiveness is taking people off of your hook and putting them on God's hook. So many times when I speak about forgiveness, people, the innate responses, it's so unjust. And I know it feels unjust from this standpoint, from this vantage point. But when you look at the vantage point of eternity, I promise you there will be justice. I promise you. So forgiveness is saying, I'm taking you off my hook and I'm putting you on God's hook. Look what the scripture says. This is, wow. Bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you, any, no one gets an exemption here. If any of you has a grievance against someone, well, what do you mean? Paul wrote this. What do you mean, Paul? Oh, thanks for asking. I'll just put this last line in. Forgive as God, as the Lord forgave you. I know this is difficult. I know what I'm telling you isn't easy, but through the power of Christ, I'm telling you it's possible, very possible, and it's essential for a Christ-centered home. So forgive as the Lord forgave you. I'm going to take this informal poll, and don't raise your hands, but am I the only one in here that's been forgiven of a lot of sin from the Lord? Am I the only one? Yeah, I actually came to Christ at 18. I'm 53. I've burned a lot more grace since coming to Christ than prior to coming to Christ. I've been forgiven of a lot more from 18 to present than from birth to 18. And I sinned a lot through high school and college till I came to Christ. I have been forgiven so much. Am I the only one that, or is anyone else in this room, that the Lord has forgiven freely? Even though I didn't deserve it, I could never earn it. Jesus just said, I forgive you. Not because you're so good or you can earn it. I'm forgiving you because I'm a forgiver. Am I the only one that the Lord has modeled forgiveness as he was being nailed to the cross, saying, Father, forgive them, as the nails were going through his arms. They don't know what they're doing. That's how God has forgiven us, in the middle of the offense. Am I the only one that lives in the promised return one day that Jesus will come and right every offense that's been wrong in our lives? That actually those offenses have either been put on the cross or when he comes, all offenses will be wrong. Justice will take place in eternity. So important, men and women. So listen, I know we've motored through this, but it's really key. Let me just go back slowly. I tried to make a case in my 20 minutes with you so far that peacemaking is essential. It's critical, not just in your home or your church parking lot, in our culture. It's critical if the gospel is going to spread. What does it mean? We submit to one another. You have the mindset, I have no rights. That's my expectation. Anything on that is gravy. And so I am going to mutually submit to the people in my home. I am going to underrank myself. I do this when I get into the driveway. I just take a minute. I breathe deeply and I say, God, I have worked hard all day. And now my most important job happens when I put my hand on that door and I say, Daddy's home. Something I do every time. And I wonder, when I'm about to say that, is my attitude going to make that good news or bad news? Submit one to another. Peacemakers speak the truth in love. Our jobs, Dad, are be label makers and put labels on our daughters. Girls, your dads need labels. Peacemakers admit and apologize when they're wrong. We don't hold on to that. Peacemakers forgive and we let go. Why do we do this? Because when we're living as peacemakers, people look at our lives and they go, wow, you bear a family resemblance. You look like what I think the Father should be, or maybe I have no clue who the Father is, and I want to know him because of your life. Listen, I have 5 daughters. I've told you that multiple times. Most of them look like my wife, and that's really good news. Some of them resemble me. My daughter in Kentucky, striking resemblance. Most of them are a combination of the two, right? What I'm telling you is this. When we live out this peacemaker's mandate, you know who we resemble? The Father. The Father. And it's so important. I want to take my last 5 minutes and spend some time in prayer with you. It's so important. I just want to, can I just pastor you tonight? And I'm going to ask that we just take a moment and bow our heads just to center our thoughts on the Lord, just let distractions go and just let me shepherd you in prayer. So put down everything and let's talk this through. And I'm going to give you some specific questions and invite you to respond actually to these questions. So let's pray together. I'm just going to pray and come out of the prayer and ask you questions, and then pray again and ask you a question, pray again. So let me just shepherd us through this. Father, thank you for this time tonight. Thank you for this great day and the beauty of your creation. Jesus, you are the ultimate peacemaker. You came to earth to make peace and reconcile us to you. And then you gave us your spirit so that we could resemble you and live out this peacemaking task. Actually, you could live it out through us. Jesus, I'm not asking for small things tonight. I'm asking that you would, by your spirit, draw us to you and help us to be the men and women, the young girls, the dads that you want us to be. I want to give you space and just invite you to come to the Lord and ask him to make you a peacemaker. And even as you do, I'm just going to give you some time. Ask him, where is it in my life that I've not made peace, but made hostility or strife? Just let the Holy Spirit work on you right now. Is there an area you're convicted of that you haven't submitted to one another? You've pulled rank instead of surrendering rank. Tell the Lord that. He's a great forgiver. He's a much better Savior than you are a sinner. Invite him to secure you so you can be a submitter one to another. this one might be hard, but I wonder what the label is that was put on you that's not from God. It could have been from a colleague. It could have been from a boss. It could have been in a performance review. It could have been from a teacher, a coach. I wonder if you could offer that label to God and say, Father, would you relabel me? Because I want to speak the truth and label others, but I just need a label tonight from you. Who am I before you? Let the Father speak love over you tonight. I want to encourage you, I sense right now, I just want to encourage you from the book of Revelation. There'll be a day you'll see that label. We see this glimpse in the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, where we're given a white stone with a name that only God knows written on it. God has a label for you. One day you'll discover it. But who is it that God's convicting you tonight? I need to relabel them from heaven's eyes. I need to speak the truth over them in love. Is there someone you're holding forgiveness from? That's what's keeping peace. Frankly, it's keeping peace in you. And it's keeping peace between you and that person. That person might not even be alive, but maybe they are, maybe they're not. But are you willing to say to God, this is really hard, this really hurts, help me to forgive? Or God, I do forgive tonight. I take them off my hook and put them on yours. The most important question I can ask you, my next question and final question, and it might be the whole reason you're here tonight and this weekend. Daughters and dads, I want to ask you this question. Are you at peace with God? Are you settled in your heart? Do you sense with all your heart that you and God are good? You're in a right place. Standard answer I get from people when I ask that question is, I hope so. You may look at your life and think, I've done a lot of wrong things. How could God ever love someone like me? I want to be real clear with you. You have sinned, and so have I. And all of us need a forgiveness that's monumentally greater than any forgiveness God is calling us to extend to another person. All of us need a peace from God that's huger than any peace he would call us to have with a person. The gospel is this. Gospel just means good news. You are more loved than you ever dreamed you could be by God. And you're worse off as a sinner than you ever imagined. But God's way better at loving than you are at sinning, and Jesus went to the cross so that you could be at peace with him. And he extends that to you as a gift and says, you don't have to earn it. You don't have to be good enough because you'll never be good enough. I will give you the peace and forgiveness you were created for because my son paid the penalty for your sin. Oh, I love that. And just like Christ forgave me and made me new, there's many that we know of, maybe some here tonight, God wants to make you new. And I'm just going to put this out. Those of you who tonight, daughters, dads, you would say, yes, I need this grace. I need this forgiveness. I want peace with God today. I'm turning from my sin tonight, and I'm going to call on Jesus And I'm going to ask him, forgive me. Give me peace. Jesus will give that to you. Is that you? You can leave this building at peace with God. It's a free gift. My words aren't magical, but I'm going to offer you a prayer in that. And you can repeat this after me. And these words aren't magical. There's no magic to this. There's grace and a gift from Jesus. Here's the prayer. Make my prayer your prayer. Heavenly Father, save me from my sins. Make me new. I believe Jesus died for me so I could live for you. I want to be at peace with you. And there's nothing I can do on my own to earn that. So I'm giving my life to you. And I'm taking your life inside of me. So I could be made brand new. Your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed. I want to just invite you, if you prayed that prayer and made it your own, I want you to raise your hand up so I can pray for you. Slip it up. It's good. Don't be shy about it. It's good. It's great. Put your hands down. Thank you. Father, I pray for the new life that's taking place in this building. Lord, I pray that you would confirm your love, your peace over all of us so that we could represent you, that you would actually be a peacemaker through us. We need you and we love you and we thank you in Jesus' name. In a spirit of prayer, we're going to sing one last song and then I'm going to come back up and release us. So let's enjoy this song together.